Welcome back to Dateline Washington. This is the Radio America Network. I'm Greg Corumbus. Thanks for being with us. Time now for a look at Thursday's top news. And after 2 days on the road talking about the economy, President Obama looking at the international scene and making his first foreign trip officially to the nation of Canada. During his meeting with Prime Minister Stephen Harper, President Obama thanked the Canadians for their ongoing military efforts in Afghanistan.
Not only the troops that are there, the 108 that have fallen as a consequence of engagement in Afghanistan, but also the fact that Canada's largest foreign aid recipient is Afghanistan. There has been extraordinary effort there.
But Obama would not answer specifically on how long American troops might stay in Afghanistan.
In terms of length, how long we might be there, obviously that's going to be contingent on the strategy we develop out of this review. And I'm not prejudging that as well.
Obama was referencing his decision earlier this week to send an additional 17,000 American troops to Afghanistan to join the roughly 38,000 forces already serving there. But it's not just Afghanistan where the U.S. and Canada strike a strategic alliance. Obama says our relationship was one of the most important ones we have.
We are so closely linked that sometimes we may have a tendency to take our relationship for granted. But the very success of our friendship throughout history demands that we renew and deepen our cooperation here in the 21st century.
Meanwhile, the two countries, during their discussions today, entering into a clean energy partnership designed to help curb global warming. Obama says one of the things this agreement does is have the two countries working together to capture and store carbon dioxide.
It will advance carbon reduction technologies, and it will support the development of an electric grid that can help deliver the clean and renewable energy of the future to homes and businesses, both in Canada and the United States.
Obama says it will promote environmentally friendly energy technology, and the two leaders, of course, agreeing together to work together on stemming the global economic crisis, and that was a subject addressed by Canadian Prime Minister Stephen Harper.
Canada and the United States must work closely to counter the global economic recession by implementing mutually beneficial stimulus measures and by supporting efforts to strengthen the international financial system.
Back near the nation's capital, the CIA headquarters in Langley, Virginia, former White House budget director, former California congressman, and former White House chief of staff Leon Panetta, he's worn all those hats, formally sworn in as director of the CIA. In comments, Panetta says he has good people backing him up, so he feels good about the job ahead.
I've got the A-team here at the CIA. All of the professional staff are, I think, the best people that I've ever known.
As you've probably seen at a number of these swearing-in ceremonies recently, the oath was administered by Vice President Joe Biden. In his comments, Biden implored CIA analysts and agents to deal in facts, clearly a swipe at the previous administration.
The job of Chief of Staff, like the Intelligence Chief, is to give the President of the United States the unvarnished truth, not what he thinks the President may want to hear.
At the same time, Biden says that the American people will be kept safe because the Obama administration will do everything possible within the law to keep us that way.
Our military, which is absolutely essential, but not sufficient. Our economic, our political, and our cultural and diplomatic tools that exist in the toolbox of any president.
Elsewhere on the foreign stage, North Korea accuses the United States of planning a nuclear attack. The communist nation also says it's ready for a war with rival South Korea, which of course is an ally of the United States. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton is in Seoul, the capital of South Korea. She says the U.S. is concerned not only with the latest threats, but the stability of the North Korean regime. Its leader Kim Jong-il reportedly suffered a stroke last summer and has had brain surgery. Observers say he still does not look well. Clinton told reporters in her words, quote, the whole leadership situation is somewhat unclear, unquote, so it's more urgent that a way be found to end the North's nuclear program. Back here at home, U.S. Senator Dick Durbin of Illinois says he has doubts about the future of his fellow Illinois Senator Roland Burris. Durbin, who is on an overseas trip, told the Chicago Tribune he's troubled by the recent revelations that Burris's testimony before a special Illinois state legislature panel regarding his relationship to ex-Governor Rod Blagojevich was not complete and was, quote, unsatisfactory. Burris is being widely criticized for his acknowledgement this week that he tried to raise funds for the ex-governor while he was seeking to be picked by Blagojevich as President Obama's replacement in the U.S. Senate. Several lawmakers and some newspapers, including the Chicago Tribune and Sun-Times, have called on Burris to resign. Out in California, Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger is praising the state assembly for passing a state budget that calls for $13 billion in tax increases and $15 billion in program and spending cuts. At a news conference in Sacramento, Schwarzenegger said the budget agreement helps to close a $42 billion budget gap.
This is the perfect medicine for our ailing economy, and it will boost public confidence in California, reassure the financial community, and allow us to resume selling our bonds and rebuild our state.
And quickly on Wall Street, the Dow off 90 to 74.66, the S&P 500 down 9 to 7.79, the NASDAQ down 25 to 14.43, oil up $4.86. Still ahead on Dateline Washington, why the Fairness Doctrine fight is not over even though Obama says he opposes its return. We'll also get an update on the Roland Burris controversy. And up next, John Gizzi.